Word of God for our meditation this morning is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those who are in authority, in order that we might live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. In the program for the choir concerts, Prof. Schaller likes to include little information about each of the songs and about each of the composers. I like that. I like learning a little bit more about the music and about the people who wrote our worship songs. Today I want to consider one of our lesser-known hymn writers. He only has a single hymn attributed to him in our hymnals. He was born in Maryland in 1779. Which was a rather difficult time in our country, if you recall, because that was right in the middle of our war for independence. In his youth, he was raised in the Episcopalian Church. And like many of you, as he was growing up, he had trouble figuring out what he wanted to do with his life. He almost became a member of the clergy. But in the end, he decided not to follow that path. He went to law school and became a famous lawyer. Even though he was never in his life in the full-time ministry, he still made use of his gifts to share the gospel. Throughout his life, he was well known for sprinkling Bible verses in all of his correspondence, always testifying in God's word and to God's truth in the gospel. And although he became a very wealthy lawyer and famous, actually what he's most famous for is his poetry, some of which was set to music then in our hymns. Most of his writing was religious or patriotic in nature or blending the two. This verse is a good example. This is the closing stanza of one of his poems. "Oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust." Along with its stirring patriotism, this poem reflects our own prayers for our nation, as we were directed to pray in that text from 1 Timothy 2. First of all, it speaks of those in the armed forces as standing between their loved home and the war's desolation. I love that picture. The picture of a soldier putting their own body in between that desolate, war-torn battlefield, standing in front of their home, protecting their home, protecting that safety and security that we enjoy. This reminds us to pray for our armed forces, all those who serve. Keep them in our prayers. They face dangers. They protect our country so that we may have that peace that God talks about, leading a quiet and peaceful life. This also serves as a picture of what our Savior did on our behalf as well. He put himself and his own body between us and the devil himself. The devil and all that battlefield of corruption and sin. He put himself in our place. As our Savior said in John 15, "No one has greater love than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." A second thing this poem mentions is it tells our heaven-rescued land to praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. When we study our nation's history, it's not to praise those people, those fathers of our nation, those men and women who founded it. None of those individuals acted on their own. Even the very fathers of our country, the signers of our Declaration of Independence, they did nothing. God himself directed everything. God directed all things for his good and continues to preserve us. As we read in Acts 17, God has made every nation and determined the pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwelling. All that our country is, all that we enjoy, all the peace and prosperity that we have is only due to God's preserving grace. He is the one that has made our nation and continues to preserve it. For this and so many other blessings, we owe him our thanks and our praise. In the last part of that poem, the third thing the poet reminds us of is that our motto should be, "In God is our trust." This was shortened and added to our currency by President Lincoln, "In God we trust." These words on every piece of money remind us that we don't rely on our strong military. We don't rely on our secure borders or a strong economy. In God is our trust. We read in Psalm 33, "The Lord wrecks the plans of the nations. He hinders the intentions of the people. The plan of the Lord stands forever. How blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." So let me read that last stanza of that poem again, but this time I'll include the closing words. "Oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." Yes, you may have guessed, this is the final stanza of a poem you've heard thousands of times. The man who wrote it was Francis Scott Key. It was originally called "The Defense of Fort McHenry," but you know it better as was put to music as "The Star-Spangled Banner." When it comes to being a citizen of this country, God does not tell us to stand up for our rights. God does not tell us to resist tyrants. God does not tell us to fight against unjust taxes. He does tell us to obey the government, unless what it's telling us to do is against his commands. He told his disciples to pay taxes, obey that hated Roman government. In Romans 13, Paul reminds us of God's will for all those is to obey those who are placed in authority over us. And as we said in our text, God directs us to pray for kings and all who are in authority. So when you sing that first verse of the poem, "Oh, say, can you see?" I hope you remember that there is a final verse to that same poem. Remember those words and the prayer. May God continue to bless the men and women who serve our country. May God continue to bless our leaders. May God continue to bless our country with peace and continue to preserve it. And may our country always remember the one true God who made all things. And remember that in God is our trust. Amen. We'll sing of this in that one hymn in our hymnals by Francis Scott Key, hymn 966. Hymn 966, verses 1 and 2.